Good morning. Let's begin our service this morning with song number 4 in Sing the Story. That's the Purple Book. Rejoice, rejoice, the Savior comes. Please stand if you're able. Welcome to our service this morning, to those that are here with us, and to all those that will be listening online, video or audio. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. On the road of revelation, if we have faith and a willing spirit, God will show us the way. God's word to us is, "I am with you. Do not be afraid." And today we will light 4 Advent candles. Please join with me in the call to worship. This is adapted from Psalm 89, 1 to 2 and 26. We will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever.
We will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations.
We declare that your steadfast love is established forever.
Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens.
You are our Father, our God, and the rock of our salvation. Let's bow for prayer. O Christ, we watch and wait for the warmth and light of your presence. As candlelight overcomes the darkness, So your light radiates within us and warms the wintry seasons of our lives. We live with hope that the good news of your coming will warm and brighten every heart, and the world will fall on its knees in joy. Amen. We'll continue singing with song number 180 in the hymnal. Please stand if you can.
This is kind of what we call shift work. Val had the early shift. I have the mid shift. I don't know who's got the overnight shift. But we always arrange things before we come out. We look at the order of service. Okay, you do this part, and then I'll do this part, because we're trying to have, as you know, as few people up here so that we can invite more people to come here to sit where you sit. And you are well scattered, I see that, so I will have to use my neck as I am speaking, perusing the whole entire crowd of no more than 30. We will have everybody know. Bart, do you want to give us a number on how many more we could still have here today? Seven. Seven more people could have come this morning, but you are still welcome wherever you are, in whatever area, country, region, continent, I'm not sure. But you are all welcome, and especially the ones who are sitting here. I'd also like to especially thank the young ladies here at the front. I don't know if you can all see them, for their singing. It helps so much. I don't know if you realize it at home as well, but it just adds to the sound. And for someone who sings alto, an alto solo is not the easiest thing to listen to. So when I have sopranos belting it out the way they are capable of doing, then I can sing along with them. It feels so good. And there's some men's voices back there that just, it sounds quite good, actually. Not to toot our own horns, but it's a blessed sound. Okay, let's pray together then. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this space. We thank you for all of those who have come before us, who guided us in our faith, who taught us, and who helped us see you through the eyes of faith. We pray for all of those who are gathered here and who are gathered in other spaces. We ask for your blessing, that your presence would rest upon them, especially in this season, in this season of Christmas and this season of COVID. It's difficult, and we're torn between wanting to celebrate and expressing joy and at the same time recognizing so much pain and suffering that still exists. And so with both of those things in mind, we just come openly and honestly before you. We want to praise you, and we want to continue to express the truths that we know about you. You are glorious. You are amazing. You are to be worshiped. And we humble ourselves before you to do that. We have come this morning to set aside a special time that's different from the rest of the times throughout our week's activities. This time we give as an offering to you. This attention we also give as an offering to you. And we pray that you would also accept the offerings of money that we have brought, not only this morning, but throughout the weeks. We ask for your blessing on that offering, and give us the wisdom to know how to use it, how to disperse it. And for those of us who are still wondering, what shall I do before the end of the year? How much should I give? To whom should I give it? We pray that you would give us guidance by your Spirit. Inspire us so that we will, with open-handedness, give the way you gave your only Son. You held nothing back. Help us to have that kind of courage to see you and to see the possibilities of how we can participate in different things in our neighborhoods, in our communities, as well as around the world. And with that in mind, we also bring our prayers. Our prayers are a kind of offering, and we recognize that there are so many people around the world suffering, straining, and in trouble. As in the last few weeks, we pray for those in Ethiopia and those who have fled from that area to go to Sudan. We pray for those who welcome them, who allow them to stay in their country as refugees, but we pray for them as they flee without anything, without their home, without their security, and many without food and water. Raise up people to give and to work to help those in need. They are far from us, but show us how, even in our concern, we can remember them in prayer. And if there is something you would like us to do, show us. Show us, and we'll do it. We pray for all of those who are suffering with COVID, especially those in the hospital and in the ICU units. We pray for healing. We pray for wisdom. Help the doctors and nurses and all of the staff. First, we ask that you would keep them safe, and then help them to have insight and wisdom in knowing how to help, how to handle the situation. It's beyond anything we can imagine, and it continues. And we pray for your hope and your healing. We pray for governments that make good choices, wise decisions. Thank you for the encouragement that we've heard from our government to have a fairer rollout of the vaccine, to remember those countries, those governments, those institutions that have not been able to supply their citizens with what we are anticipating. Help us always, when we are giving to ourselves, to remember those who don't have the same kinds of opportunities that we have, to bring them to you in prayer, and sometimes to do something ourselves. We pray for the other churches, that they also would be inspired By your Spirit, by your guidance, we pray today for Mount Calvary Lutheran Church here in Swift Current. And we also pray for North Star Mennonite Church in Drake and their pastor. There's so many things that we could pray for. And now, especially in this season, when we know that we would love to be gathered together with our families, we pray for our families, for our extended families, those we love to feed and to buy gifts for and to laugh together with. We pray for them in their homes, in their places. We pray especially for those who this Christmas will not have the company of those they love. We ask that you would give them comfort and an experience of your presence, unique to their situation, demonstrating that your loving kindness does not fail. All of these things, as well as so many more that we haven't even mentioned today, we bring as our offering to you. And we pray with the words that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. The scripture reading this morning Let's see, would you like to place bets on which of those texts? I'm just joking with you. I want to see your eyes crinkle up because I can't see your faces, right? All of the masks are covering everything, so that I've learned to appreciate wearing a mask, especially when I happen to be in the grocery store. I can mutter away about people that I'm meeting and they don't know that I'm talking. I think they probably do know. But anyways, the four passages there are the lectionary texts. I will refer to 2 Samuel. I will start with Romans chapter 16, but I think I'll read Psalm 89, verse 1 to 4. How is that? So if you are scrolling on your device, Psalm 89, verses 1 to 4, if you're looking it up in your Bible, you've already found it. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David. I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The fourth Sunday of Advent, the title, the topic, the focus is Revelation. Revelation on this road. Let's just remind ourselves that on this road is our theme. Here is the roadway. And it looks like many feet have already walked on this roadway. Ike asked if he should vacuum that, and I said, no, 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 keep it dirty. It's supposed to be a road. It's supposed to look as if people are walking this road. And we are walking this road together with Mary and Joseph expecting the baby Jesus. The four candles remind us of the stages of expectation towards the final fulfillment of the greatest revelation ever. But we're talking about revelation on this road. We're not simply going along a road and expecting a revelation at the end of it. We are, in fact, doing that too. Because this road of life leading towards life eternal, we expect a revelation. However, I want us to remember that there are revelations continuously throughout our lives, throughout this entire journey. And that's what I want to talk about today. Revelation. On this road that we call life, this road that we are moving along. So if we are moving, then we know the revelation that comes to us needs to travel along with us. To me, this is huge encouragement because I don't want to think that revelation came to me only that time when I realized, oh, I do believe in God. I do believe that Jesus saves me, and I want to live as a Christian. Back when I wasn't even a teenager yet. I don't want to think that that was the first and last and final revelation. And then I just sort of go along and hope for the best in the end, whenever that end is. I don't want that. I want to see and learn and experience not only life, but new things of God. Continuously, I'm never satisfied. I always want more, more, more. Sometimes I receive that, and sometimes I'm frustrated and disappointed because there is waiting that goes together with the revelation. Why do we wrap Christmas presents? Have you ever thought of that? Have you received any Christmas present yet this year, unwrapped? Every once in a while you get one. Usually, even the I don't want to say the smallest, the simplest gift is at least stuck in an envelope or a plastic bag or some sort of a covering. Very, very rarely will someone come up to you and just say, "Merry Christmas," and there is whatever it is. We wrap the Christmas presents up. We disguise them, we cover them, and the best wrappers are those, no, oh, sorry, I didn't mean wrappers as in I mean, wrappers with a W. The best wrappers are the ones who disguise their gift so thoroughly that you have no way of knowing what is this gift. And it's just the most amazing surprise. Well, I would say God is the greatest wrapper. That can go so many ways. I'm expecting a lot of emails this week. But for now, we'll just talk about the presents, the Christmas presents, the revelation that comes at Christmas, because the unwrapping is like the revelation. Christmas is the ultimate reveal party. That's become a trend now. When couples are having a baby and their doctor or whatever person tells them what the gender of the baby is, oh, then we have to have a big gathering and we have to have pink and blue presents and balloons and exploding things and all sorts of the creativity that is put into these gender reveal parties is amazing. And I think a little over the top. And yet, it's in our DNA. We want to have the secret, we savor the secret, and then, at just the right time, then we let it be known. And what do we expect? We expect a lot of hoopla and cheering and excitement and just all sorts of reactions. You don't ever want your reveal party to just fall flat and people say, "Oh yeah, okay." And go on, where's the cake, you know? It causes excitement. And that is what I would like to reignite in us today as we consider revelation on this road. Not only at the end of the road, but on this road. We experience it in our lives, gender reveal parties, or we're pregnant parties, when the couple comes to the parents and let them know, or they have the pictures of the ultrasound, and the way that parents often, not always, often react, it's a wonderful surprise. Or we're engaged, wonderful surprises. God gives us a wonderful surprise, but it's God who is the secret keeper. It's God who is the holder, the keeper. He is the one who decides when this mystery is going to be revealed. Turn to Romans. I want to jump right into Romans chapter 16. It's the very, very last of Romans, just before 1 Corinthians. And this is one of the benedictions that I sometimes use at the end of a service. And just because I'm reading it now doesn't mean it's the end of the service. So don't hit the power off button on your on your computer. This is not the benediction. Okay, now that everybody heard that. Verse 25, and then through to the end. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. There's the mystery that has been held and kept secret for long ages. We are not the keepers of that secret or that mystery. It is God who holds that mystery, and it's quite easy for God to keep a secret. Some of us, we're not so good at keeping secrets. Others are very excellent at keeping secrets. George Braun kept a secret through his deathbed, and it was only his daughter that revealed that mystery. The mystery of the chocolates that appeared in the middle of a church service. It still blows my mind. This mystery, God's mystery, was for ages and ages and ages. God is the keeper, and we are the containers. That was not my phrase. That was a writer that I was reading this week. We're not the keepers, we're simply the containers. And so we are not the controllers either. This is God's mystery kept. So if we are on this road and we know that God is the ultimate mystery keeper, how do we get any inspiration or joy out of that? Well, God is just keeping a secret. God, why are you silent? That's sometimes a life's challenge. We begin by knowing the promise. Because if you know there is a promise, something to wait for, something to come, something to expect, then it's easier to wait. Then we can wait with anticipation. If there's nothing coming, if no parents ever said to their child, "Christmas is coming," there would be no anticipation for the child. We've all had to wait for something at some point, but we need to know what is the promise of the person or the force or the one who is the holder or the keeper. What are God's promises? This is very dangerous because sometimes we don't know what the promises are. Sometimes, well, I think we should admit that our Bible knowledge isn't exactly what it could be, right? Are we all ready to admit that? I'm ready to admit that. My Bible knowledge isn't what it could be. And I went to school with David Elkins. He's an American, and his Bible knowledge was really extraordinary. He could pull out verses and know the reference. He was amazing. He's still a pastor. I'm sure he's still amazing. And very recently, there was someone who brought to our attention, there was a group of us gathered, socially distanced. We were gathered, and this person was referring to a phrase he had heard, and he said, "I'm sure that's in the Bible somewhere, but where exactly is it? And so he went on a search, and he did in fact find it in the Bible, found the context, and found that most often it was used out of context. It was used at our convenience. And that's why I say not knowing the promises can be very dangerous, because people can trick us. our society can trick us or fool us into thinking God has promised to give you this or produce this for you. Our expectations are of certain things that our society encourages. Yet, maybe, probably, and often, those are not God's promises at all. Sometimes it's even an interpretation of God's promises that we have just taken to be true, and then when our life does not reflect that interpretation, then we turn on God. Then we say, God doesn't keep his promises. God is not faithful. Well, that should wake everybody up, shouldn't it? What? Did the pastor just say that? Sometimes we say that in our heart of hearts. Sometimes we say, God has not been faithful to me in this situation. That's why it's so important to know the promises. We need to work at truly understanding, what is it that God promises? And what is it that the world is trying to trick us into thinking we should expect? What are my rights and privileges? I heard on the news this week, you know, there's always people saying they have the right to do this or not do this, especially when there are limitations. And this scientist or doctor said, you don't have the right to get and spread a deadly disease. You don't have that right. And it was kind of shocking and refreshing to hear that, because we're always being told, these are our rights. I have the right to do this and to do that. So these are some of the things that we need to check within ourselves and say, whoa. Maybe my Bible literacy is a little bit off. Maybe I don't know the promises as well as I should, that I can't refute the falsehoods. I can't recognize, I can't do the fact-checking that I need to do in my day-to-day life because my Bible literacy isn't what it needs to be. I need to work on that. I need to make sure that I am filling myself with truths and facts, and I'm not just being duped into something. You know, there is, I usually don't like to talk about other branches or brands or denominations, other church groups, but there are some leaders who try to convince people that God wants to make you prosperous. You've heard prosperity gospel, haven't you? That phrase. And there's lots of ways that that evidences itself. But saying that God wants you to be rich, this is God's intention for you, and all of the things that come along with that, that's the kind of, to me, so obvious mistruth and misunderstanding or misinterpretation of God's desire for us, that if we are not aware and knowing what God is actually promising, we can be led astray too easily. So that's the first thing in this road of revelation. We need to know, we need to refresh ourselves and know what is the promise of God. Take a look at Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. I don't want to read 26 to 38, I don't think, because this is the story. This is where Mary learned that she was going to have a child, and she went and visited Elizabeth, who was already known to be with child. I want to read the tail end of that. Let's start with verse 39. Luke 1:39, in those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy." This is an experience of the revelation. This leaping for joy is, not always and not with all revelations, but leaping for joy is a response to the revelation that God brings. The child in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed, right here is key, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment. We need to know the promise. Second thing, we don't always know the promises. We forget the promises or the interpretation of the promises. We need to know the promise keeper. We need to know the promise keeper. Who is the one who is actually making these promises? Maybe I have forgotten what God has promised. So I need to back up and know, who is this God that promises? Who is this God who brings about the revelation? Or who keeps this mystery for ages, for years and years? Who is this God? This is the God, the owner of the promises, the owner and keeper of the mystery. Hold on to that. Hold that in your mouth like a Lindt chocolate. And it just sits there. And you suck on it, and that chocolate comes out bit by bit, and you enjoy it again and again. Hold this that way. This God who is the keeper of the mystery for ages and ages, and at the right time, in the place that he chose, he revealed that mystery. He's the keeper. He's the keeper of the mystery. He controls it. So if God kept that mystery, maybe, perhaps, there is something that God is keeping unrevealed yet to you in your life on this road, and the revelation has not come. Maybe you haven't seen it yet. Maybe it hasn't been revealed yet. Maybe you are wavering right on the brink of saying, God is not faithful to me. To all these others he is, but he's not been faithful to me. If that's where you are, just hold on to that and realize God, in the right time, at the right place, in the right way, according to God's wisdom, will reveal. And blessed is she who believed there would be fulfillment of what was spoken. If you flip back to Romans chapter 16, those verses reveal who this promise keeper is. This God who is able to establish, not only you and your household and your future, but you know that Isaiah passage? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Nod if you know that passage. Yes. We hear it again and again. And right at the end of those favorite of verses, it says, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Some people get goosebumps when they hear a truth, I just get choked up and I just want to burst into tears. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Will accomplish what? God has zeal to accomplish and to establish what he has promised according to his commands. And this is the only wise God, right there, Romans 16, verse 27, to the only wise God. This is our promise keeper. But these are kind of big, and I wanted them to be big, because sometimes we get too personal, and we just think, me and my best friend God, holding hands, walking through life together, and we forget that we are not the center of the universe, and that God is over all, the whole world, all the created beings, for all time. This is what God has established. Think about God in a bigger way. This promise keeper, the only wise God. And then turn back to Psalm 89. The promise keeper, I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. This is our promise keeper. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. I'm looking for the exact verses. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 11, and verse 26. Why would I say 26? Verse 16. Look at verse 16. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. This is God speaking to David. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. If you have time this afternoon, read chapter 7, verses 1 to 11. It's the story that comes before this final conclusion, that David's throne, David's household, would be established forever. David wanted to build a house for God, and God said, no, it's not going to be you, it's going to be someone else. This is my plan. God chooses whom God will use for God's purposes. The promise keeper. He establishes kings, he establishes households, and yet God says, remember, I'm the one who moved around with you through the wilderness. I started with the establishment of David's household because it's huge, it's big, and yet God started with, remember me? Don't you remember me? I'm the one who walked with you through the wilderness. I moved with you through all of those days. Remember me, the promise keeper. So when we remember the promise keeper, then we have courage and expectation and joy and excitement. The joy and excitement of a child at Christmas, knowing what all this season means. We can have that kind of joy and expectation in our lives, our day-to-day lives. You might think, I've seen it all. I've already seen everything. I'm tired, I'm old, I'm worn out. There's nothing new under the sun. Oh, you've forgotten the promise keeper. You've forgotten who this God is. Because when we remember the promise keeper, then we have joy and expectation in the revelation. Psalm 89, again for the last time, verse 19. Then you spoke in a vision to your faithful one and said, I have set the crown on one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. This is what I have done. I have displayed my power by establishing David's kingdom, the one that I have chosen. I have chosen. I am the keeper of the revelation. I will establish whom I will establish in my time, and it will be in justice. I will establish righteousness and justice. These are just a few of the revelations. But when we are not seeing and knowing and understanding who our promise keeper is, we can't even recognize when revelation is happening right out around us in our lives. We have stopped looking with joy and expectation for the revelation. I think we need to start first with recognizing, admitting, confessing, yeah, maybe I've gotten calloused or lazy or unexpectant. And simply open our eyes and ask God to reveal God's self to us in a new way again today, in this season of revelation. The revelation of Jesus as the full embodiment of who God is. But not only that, once and for all, throughout our lives, our daily lives, God is active and displaying God's self, revealing God's self to us, to the expectant. Blessed is she who believed there would be fulfillment of the promise given. Amen. Let's turn to number 211 to sing, Lo, How a Rose Ere Blooming. Please stand. Please bow for the benediction. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel, and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but is now disclosed, according to the command of the eternal God, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.